You want to make a feast? Invite the poor and the maimed and the blind. People who can't pay you back. You know, and that's... I've said this about certain people I know. They love to give to the rich. There are certain people with money who love to give to people who have money. You know, the rich love to give to the rich. It's a funny phenomenon. To me, it is. I guess it's just all too natural. There's nothing more despicable to them than need. You know, that's people would be needy. They find very distasteful. And they give to those who need it least. And when you are that, you know, the friend in need is the friend in need, you know, that to them is the most kind of distasteful situation of all. It's someone who needs money or needs help or could use a handout. Nothing is more despised in their sight. You know, they love to treat each other to golf outings. They love to treat each other to dinner. They love to treat each other to expensive wines and expensive foods. And they love to treat each other. But for those who need, it's like, no, they'd rather not. There's something very distasteful. I mean, what is that reflex in man that despises those that are in need? I tell you, when you have that reflex, you're far from the kingdom of God. Because Jesus advises the opposite. Don't give to the rich. Give to the poor. You know, make a feast for people who can't pay you. They can only repay you with their thanks. And then you can have a reward. A real reward of God. You are truly blessed. God will have to pay you. And that's his message. Verse 15, and when one of them that sat at meat with him heard these things, he said unto him, Blessed is he that shall eat bread in the kingdom of God. I think there's a lot of hope in that statement. He's looking at the thing, he's hearing the things Jesus is saying about the, and he knows that these are parables of the kingdom, and Jesus is talking about how things ought to be. And he says, wow, blessed is he that eats bread in that kingdom, the kingdom of God. You know, in the resurrection. Verse 16, then said he unto them, A certain man made a great supper, and bade many, and sent his servant at supper time to say to them that were bidden, Come, for all things are now ready. And they all with one consent began to make excuse. The first said unto him, I have bought a piece of ground, and I must needs go see it. I pray thee, have me excused. And another said, I have bought 5 yoke of oxen, and I go to prove them. I pray thee, have me excused. And another said, I have married a wife, and therefore I cannot come. So the servant came and showed his lord these things. Then the master of the house, being angry, said to his servant, Go out quickly into the streets and lanes of the city, and bring in hither the poor, and the maimed, and the halt, and the blind. And the servant said, Lord, it is done as thou commanded, and yet there is room. And the lord said unto the servant, Go out into the highways and hedges, and compel them to come in, that my house may be filled. For I say to you, that none of those men which were bidden shall taste of my supper. That's an awesome parable. It contains so much information about the kingdom of God. Look, a certain man made a great supper. What does a supper represent? It represents God's rewards. You know, blessed is he that eateth, shall eat bread in the kingdom of God. You know, the kingdom of God is not in meat and drink, by the way. It's not about eating. It's not about eating pastries and never getting fat. Definitely not. The kingdom of God is full of temperance and so on and so forth. It's not about feasting, though it's likened to a feast. A feast of good things. But it has to do with the resurrection of the dead and eternal life. I want to feast on eternal life. You know, God has prepared a kingdom for us. I mean, that's what the supper really represents. It is the kingdom of God. God is king, and we reign with him. A lot of people think of heaven as, oh, we're going to serve in heaven. But truly, we serve here that we may rule. That we may rule with him. That we may sit down with him in his throne and his kingdom. And so, it is this kingdom. It is this resurrection from the dead. It is eternal life. And all the trappings of it. You know, the righteousness and the holiness that God imparts unto us. And many other things. You know, all the blessings that pertain to God's kingdom. That's why it's likened to a supper, because it's so varied in its constituent parts. So then supper time comes. It's time to receive the kingdom. And there are people called to receive the kingdom. And this refers back, of course, to the Jews. But it also refers to people in our time, even now. Because this is what people do. This great kingdom of God is offered. This great supper is laid out and ready. And we are bidden to come partake of it. By these promises, you are made partakers of the divine nature. We got the divine nature is part of that supper. We got to partake of it. I want to partake of Christ. There, laid on the table is his body and blood. Are you ready to eat it? Oh, I just bought a piece of ground. I have to go see it. You know, I pray you, have me excused. I've got 5 yoke of oxen. Oh, excuse me. I've married a wife and I can't come. You know, they've all gone after their earthly concerns. The cares of this life are all bound up in the covetousness of our hearts. And there is certainly sin and iniquity in it. They put a greater value on their earthly doings and their earthly things than they do on the kingdom of God. And it is not as Jesus likens it, you know, like that pearl of great price where you sell all you have and you go to possess it. It's not that important to them. They make light of it in their hearts. It doesn't say they actually make light here, but, you know, in their hearts, they're sort of like, well, this is more important. I've got to go look at this field I just bought. And I just taken a wife. I can't leave her now. You know, all making excuse of why they can't come to the supper prepared. And so then the master is he gets angry. And so he says, go and then go to the poor and the maimed and the halt and the blind. It's hard for rich to enter into the kingdom. You know, it's hard for people with possessions, with wives and with families and with houses to enter in because those things are such a distraction. They so much keep us from the time required. You know, you have to actually show up at the feast. You have to actually sit down and dine with him. You can't just, you know, say, well, I'll be with you in spirit, you know, but I'm going to go my way. So he brings out the poor, the maimed, the halt, and the blind. Unlikely people to enter in to a Lord's feast. So he calls out, you know, and this is like Jesus would say, you know, the sinners, the publicans, and the weak, and the blind, they're entering into the kingdom, but yourselves are thrust out. People who are really into their religion, being left out of the payoff of that religion. You know, the people in the parable are the worthy people, people being bidden. You know, there they are handling the word of God. Who else should enter in except those that handle the word of God? They ought to know. But no, it's other people. People who don't have much, right?